Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the Estée Lalonde Show. I'm your host, Estée Lalonde, and today we're speaking to Jill Irwin, the founder of She's Lost Control. She's Lost Control is a modern spirituality brand. I wanted to find out a little bit more about Jill's own personal spirituality journey and how she turned her passion into a business. When editing this podcast, it reminded me of something my driving instructor in suburban Canada said to me once. All you're going to need to know is where's I'm going to go and how's I'm going to get there. Hello, Jill.
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I always love talking to you when I get to look at your beautiful haircut.
Oh my God, my haircut. You can barely see my eyes because of lockdown. I haven't been able to get it cut.
For the people just listening, Jill has, how would you even describe your hairstyle?
At the minute, it's like an overgrown bowl cut. But it's, yeah.
It's really cool. I really love it. Did it.
Oh, thanks.
So Jill, I wanted to get you on the podcast to talk a little bit about not only what you do now, but a bit about your spiritual journey and how this whole kind of thing started. So maybe let's start by telling everybody who you are and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I never know how to describe myself. But so my name's Jill, and I'm founder of a brand called She's Lost Control, which is a modern spirituality brand. And we kind of call it a conscious lifestyle brand for modern soul seekers is the kind of tagline. But I started that way back in 2014 with one of my best friends, Cheryl. And it began as a bit of a passion project, really. It was kind of where I was, where Cheryl was at that point in our lives where we were kind of, I suppose, pretty burnt out, both like hectic jobs, starting on a bit of a spiritual journey, starting on a bit of a transformation. And I think SLC, which is what we call She's Lost Control, is kind of, it's become that sort of the journey of discovery, really. So it's kind of been my journey. Cheryl's now left, actually. She left about a year and a half ago because she's a bridal designer as well. So she kind of, the two worlds weren't fitting together anymore. So she now makes amazing, dreamy wedding dresses.
Before we go any further, what you were just saying was about burnout. What did your burnout feel like? What is burnout? I know it's a word that gets kind of thrown around a lot, but what does it actually feel like? Because I think I'm going through it right now.
I kind of hit a rock. I was in the fashion world, so I was a buyer for like 9 years, actually working for Arcadia. So it's really sad to see that they kind of got into administration yesterday. I just felt like I was kind of running on empty all the time. I was getting to the point where stress was really manifesting itself in the physical form. So I was getting a lot of vertigo. I was having a lot of back pain, shoulder pain, and then verging on kind of panic attacks. And it just got to, it wasn't necessarily the stress of the work for me, but it was more this kind of underlying knowledge, I suppose, that I wasn't really on the right path. And I'd always been like, left uni and was like, right, must work in fashion, must be a buyer. And then when I got to that stage to be a buyer, I hadn't really thought about, oh, what's next? I didn't want to be a buying manager. I didn't want to kind of progress in that world anymore. And it just felt quite meaningless. So it was that kind of lack of purpose and lack of meaning and not kind of knowing what direction, I felt quite lost. So for me, that's kind of how it kind of transpired, I think.
I know that feeling of running on empty. And the weird thing about it is, you know, you can run on empty for years.
Yeah.
You really can. And it feels like, okay, if I just maybe relax this weekend, I can hit the ground running again on Monday. And then, you know, you don't relax on the weekend and you don't even know how to relax. And then Monday comes and you're back at it. And it's just, eventually it adds up and, you know, anxiety, panic attacks, all these physical things are just kind of outward signs of it. But it's almost an intuitive thing, wouldn't you think, to know that
Completely. I always think, for me, intuition is the biggest thing. So it's kind of, I always follow intuition, synchronicities. It's something that's kind of led me throughout my life, really, on my path. So it's kind of looking out for, just really trusting your gut, because it really does know best, and really leaning into your intuition whenever you're kind of feeling vulnerable as well. I feel like when you're in a vulnerable state and when you're in a state of like stress or panic, I sometimes feel that your intuition can be really more on point.
What is intuition?
It's really truly knowing yourself and really kind of being able to look inward and really inwardly understand what it is that your soul needs. So it's on a kind of, it's really on a soul level.
I've always considered myself to be an intuitive person, not in the sense that I'm a psychic or anything like that. I just mean, connected to myself, I know when things are off, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of people have struggles identifying the difference between intuition and anxiety and fear and all those things. How do you differentiate between fear, anxiety, intuition?
I think that fear can often be an indicator from your intuition. It can also often be a kind of sign that there's something not aligned and there's something that you're not necessarily listening to that little voice in the back of your head. I always think about listening to that niggle. What is it? And that niggle can sometimes manifest in fear. Mm-hmm. And if we're feeling fear, then it's quite often it's something that's not, there's something that's not really truly aligned for
us. It's kind of like when you enter a new relationship and you like the person or whatever, and something happens, they might do something, and you're like, ooh, that's a bit weird. But you let it go and you ignore it, but you know. And it's like, you've chosen to ignore that, but then say you're together for 3 years, you break up and you're like, I should have just listened to that voice.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's trusting it and honing in on that, I think. Yeah. So anyway, you experienced burnout, you were listening to your intuition, and your best friend was doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I was doing a lot of traveling actually at the time. So I was back and forth to India and LA quite a bit, and I started to kind of dip my toes into the kind of alternative wellness world, mainly through being exposed to it in LA, and found that there was a lot of stores out there, especially actually Spellbound Sky, and the guys in there were great, and there's just nothing like that in the UK. And at the time I was retraining as a jeweler, because I decided I was going to leave buying and I wanted to do something more creative. So I was retraining as a jeweler and getting myself ready to make this leap to leave the buying world. I just had this thing in my head that I didn't fit in, basically. So I was into crystals a little bit. I was starting to get into them. I'd always kind of loved them as a kid, and I've always kind of, my dad used to have this huge encyclopedia with all these minerals in, and I was obsessed with it. And my uncle is a scientist, and he used to grow minerals. So it's always been something that's been there in the background. But I suppose my fascination was more with the symmetry and the these amazing nature's art, basically, that these rocks can grow in these colours and amazing shapes. And I was just kind of transfixed with that. But then I started to kind of understand more of the healing side of it. And so really it was kind of leaning into crystals that kind of started my journey a little bit. And then, me and Cheryl were just like, let's just do a pop-up. Let's just start to create a community where people can experience these events and also buy the products. So that was kind of when it was born.
That's always kind of the story of a lot of businesses of, you know, you either like saying to yourself, should I just do it? Or saying to your friend, like, should we just try it?
Yeah.
And there's not really much at stake.
Yeah, exactly. And we were just like, yeah, let's give it a go. And back then, so this is like 2014, we really struggled to find like practitioners or healers to do events with, because it was such a new thing. And it was kind of still back then, it hadn't kind of changed to this more sort of modern wellness. It was very much still perceived as like crushed velvet and like that kind of more hippie sort of vibe, which was where I felt uncomfortable in that scene. For me, going into new age store from the 70s or something, I just felt intimidated, and I just felt like I didn't fit in, I didn't know enough information, I didn't know what I was doing. And so from day one, the biggest thing for us was to create this space that felt accessible. So that's always been like the number one thing, so that you could walk in the door or see us on Instagram, whichever it would be, and you don't feel intimidated. You feel part of the community. So that's been so important from day one, which is kind of why it's sort of gone down that sort kind of more modern sort of route, so it's accessible for people. And then it just kind of, in the last year and a half or so, it's like really sort of exploded into this incredible community of, just healers, practitioners, but then we've also got obviously the community of people who join us for everything, and it's just kind of really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of ideas as to why it's kind of had a boom. I think from my point of view, what you said earlier about how you went to these stores in LA and it was much more of a thing there,
yeah,
but there was nothing like that in London. And as someone who, first of all, I'm Canadian, but I feel like I have an understanding of North American culture, and I spend a lot of time in New York and LA and stuff like that. And then I'm in London. I live in London. London's my favorite city, but I'm like, London is lacking a lot and very behind in a lot of things, especially in wellness categories. Do you think it's a cultural thing?
Yeah,
and 100%. I mean this so lovingly.
100%. Like, completely. So there's like, I feel like, because we started in 2014, so that's like 6 years ago. And I just, every year I think, oh yeah, okay, the big guys are going to come along now. Who else is coming? And there's never really been anything else similar kind of crop up. And
nothing. I know.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But I think, being typically British and being typically cynical, I feel like that is kind of, a lot of people are quite, cynical, standoffish.
Energetically a bit closed. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I don't want it to get misconstrued, but it's there. I just think it takes a lot of pulling from somebody with an interaction with somebody who's like typically British in that way. It's it's not as forthcoming. Is that just because of the upbringing here?
I think so. I feel like there's a lot. I have to do a lot of convincing, I suppose, might be the right word. Even like to my closest my family and some of my closest friends, is to sound healing, because I'm trained as a sound healer, but I actually just do it for myself. I don't kind of do sessions. It's more like my own sort of private practice. With that as an example, having to explain the science of it on a cellular level to family and friends to kind of get them to be like, all right, okay, I understand what it is that you do. Or like with crystals, having to kind of really drill down on exactly the atomic structure and why it could be possible. And can you just open your mind a little bit to receive that?
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. And I also think I really love all this stuff. You know, I enjoy sound healing. I like crystals and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need there to be proof. It's more just, how does it feel to me? How does it resonate for me? And that's how I approach wellness. And I think a lot of people here are just like, well, that couldn't possibly work, and scientifically it can't. But it's like, I don't even know if you need the science. Like, it's just a tool for self-exploration, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But in order to dip their toes in and kind of experience that tool or utilize the tool, they kind of, it's getting over that initial hurdle for them. It's just reminded me of I think not last year, the year before, we did he's lost control, and we did a series of sessions for men's mental health. I had a lot of guy friends who'd mentioned that they were suffering from stresses at work and things, but they were too intimidated or scared to go to meditation. So this was just men only. We set up all these sessions, breath work, and it was unbelievable, some of the feedback that we got after, afterwards. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe this is just, I feel amazing afterwards. There was a chef in there, there was a barman in there, and they kind of all really connected and they felt safe in that environment because they were with like-minded people who hadn't experienced it before, who probably mm-hmm. walked through the door as a cynic. And right. so they felt safe and comfortable in that environment with their mates.
You're right. It's getting over that initial thing and that initial hurdle and in that initial letting go. Mm. And I mean, I think we're all feminists here, and I really feel like something lacking is that space for men, because they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do with these feelings.
Yeah.
They don't talk in the same way to their friends. I mean, that's just my opinion. So I'm really glad to hear that that went well. You should do more of those.
Yeah, we should do them again. We were actually going to do them, I can't even think what year, this year, but obviously with lockdown that we couldn't do any of that.
I think there is a shift happening in the collective consciousness, whatever you want to call it, of people just realizing something's got to give. Do you think that's also part of why things are doing well for you at this time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a complete shift or a kind of an awakening. A lot of people waking up with the lockdown as well. A lot of people thinking, okay, why has this happened? Reading into it for various other reasons and thinking, okay, this is my opportunity to make a change. I think a lot of people want to make a change. A lot of people want to try these things, but they haven't got the time and they haven't had the space, or they haven't had it like in the comfort of their home, for example. So now with lockdown, we've all been able to kind of experience different sessions, and not kind of, it's been easier. You don't have to have your video on. People don't even have to see you. You can just join a gong bath, try out for the first time and see if you like it. So there's not as much pressure. There's not as much pressure on you. So it's kind of definitely made that shift a lot easier. And we're also, obviously, there's so much going on, and we're moving from that kind of much more like patriarchal society into the more sort of matriarchal. And that is kind of where we really are, like going from that Piscean season or to Aquarius. So we're kind of really on the verge of that quite big shift from really sort of, you know, men ruling the roost to us.
Well, I love Aquarian energy. I'm a Leo, so it's like my opposite, like, I don't know what the hell you call it, but it's like my opposite sign on the chart or whatever. And I'm Aquarius rising. Yeah, Leos are the best. I mean, I would say that.
I'm a Leo rising, but I
always, good.
I love a bit. I always recognize when the Leo... It's great.
We do stand out from the crowd. Can we talk about tarot? I don't know how much you love tarot, but tarot was my kind of first, no, not first, because I've been into this for a while, but it was the first big tool that I started to notice a shift in how I was responding to things and how I was using it. And I don't rule my life by the tarot cards, but you know, something as simple as pulling a card and journaling about that.
Yeah,
that's so amazing. Helpful. Is that a good way for people to get into something like tarot?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, pulling one card, I would say just pulling one card a day, like what you said, and using it as a meditation prompt, or using it and asking a question. If there's something that's on your mind, I always feel that, because I pull a tarot card every day, and I'm quite often surprised with sometimes the answers that I get back. It makes me think about the situation in a different way that I might not have normally considered. Mm-hmm. So it really does help you, kind of mysticism aside, it really does help you look at things in a different way and open your mind a little bit to other possibilities, or look at a different way to manage a certain situation.
Mm. So when people come into your store, who is your typical customer? Is it people just walking by? Is it people who really hunt you down? Is it people who have a couple questions but aren't really sure? What do they even ask when they come in?
It's a real combination, actually. So we've got a real solid, loyal following who will just come in for chat, and they might be coming in to talk about the Gemini full moon, or because of where it is in Broadway Market, it's kind of perfect location. So a lot of the people around there, it's all kind of East London hipsters, and you know, they're all into this kind of thing as well. So it is a trend as well. It's kind of a trend that's been bubbling up for a while. Not to take away any sort of integrity, but it is. There's this whole crystal craze. So we get a lot of kind of hipsters in who just want to ask a few questions and probably want to get, they might have a rose quartz already and now they want to get something else, they might get a citrine. So there's those kind of curious, like the curious crowd. And then there's quite an older crowd as well. So parents buying for their daughters or sons, or just people who've used crystals or who've been into alternative wellness all their life. And, you know, now they've got this amazing new store on their doorstep, so they're kind of coming in. But it's such an interesting space to be in for the day, because there's so many characters come in and everybody is so kind of open, and we never really get anybody who's really confrontational in any way. It's always kind of really, it's really nice.
That's nice. And I'm sure you learn a lot from the people coming in as well.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So much.
So if you look at your business when it first started compared to now, and now obviously, you know, you said the trend is bubbling up, and yeah, I get that that's a trend. And there's also so many other brands in your stores. You don't just sell crystals, you know, yeah. You sell bath and body things, you sell, yeah, you know, the tarot cards, you sell books and everything else. Do you think there is an issue, you know, a goop type issue where people are marketing wellness products as like a cure all for anxiety and whatever else? Do you think that's an issue? And are you conscious of that when you're buying for your own store?
I think it can be a little bit, yeah. I think that especially, I know you're saying I sell lots of different things, but crystals as an example, because it's quite a good example. There's a lot out there where you can just buy this crystal for love, buy this crystal for luck, whatever it might be, without really truly understanding how to use it and what it actually means. And you know, like, what does it mean that this crystal's for luck? How can it possibly magically bring luck into your life? This is why there's cynics out there, because you know, that does sound a bit like, come on, really? But actually, if you kind of really go into it, it's about the colour that it vibrates at. So yellow vibrates at a certain frequency, which is the same as our solar plexus, and that's how it targets our solar plexus, and it flushes out stagnant energy in that area, which is where we carry a lot of our anxiety, we always have that gut feeling. It's all held in our solar plexus. And so by releasing that energy, that's when we can then open more space to bring more abundance in. So it's not necessarily that, it's about realigning our chakras and about kind of really flushing through the energy flow. So it's not necessarily that this little crystal here is just going to bring luck into your life, just put it on your bedside table. You have to work with it, and you have to really kind of think of it as something that amplifies your own thoughts and your own intentions, and work with it in that way. So it's a tool for meditation that can really help you go inwardly rather than just this little thing to pop in your handbag. And I think that explaining this to customers really kind of helps them on their journey as well, because there's a lot of information out there that, you know, you could just think that you just get a crystal for love or luck or whatever it might be, and that's it, it's all you have to do. But it's not really, it's about working with it, and it's about kind of really doing the work yourself, really.
I think that's a perfect example. I like to have crystals. I'm actually wearing one of your necklaces, but you know, it's not so much exactly about, okay, I bought this crystal and I'm going to put it in my bra and I'm going to walk around with it and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really. Wellness is work. I even in my own career get a lot of comments from basically people saying, you know, just because you wash your face every night doesn't mean that's self-care. It's like, no, it doesn't. This is a facet of my larger, you know, I have a larger self-care situation going on, my bigger wellness picture, but this is something that I do as a tool to help me refocus, chill, you know, set my own intentions. And
yeah,
I think that's a really good point is, you know, when people come in and they just have a couple of questions like, what, I have this crystal, what should I get next? It is a journey, and it's one of those things that just goes on and on and on throughout your whole life, really, I would assume.
Yeah, completely. I always think of SLC as my journey as well. It's kind of, you know, I didn't know all the answers when I started, and I certainly don't know all the answers now, but it's kind of, you know, as I dip my toes into new areas, then so will the business a little bit. So it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of all about really like transforming my transformative journey, but also everybody else's transformative journey that's part of our community.
Yeah, I think that's also a reason why SLC has been so successful, is because you and, you know, the people that are working around you aren't kind of standing behind that desk like, do you want to know the answer to how you're going to, you know, cure all your problems?
Yeah, exactly. It's real.
It's real. And I think, you know, because I feel like I've been into three of your stores now, but
you probably have.
I've been to the one that was the on original. The corner. Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
And then I went to the one at the other end of Broadway Market, and then you just moved again. So I've been to
this
all of
them. This is the forever home, this one. We've still got the original one, but we'll reopen it for events again, I think, at some time.
So I came into the first store because someone had set me up to see Tamara.
Yes.
Who, by the way, she was Wolf's sister, but she's not anymore. She just goes
formerly known as Wolf's sister.
So she read my tarot cards. That was the first time I had my tarot cards read. And I walked into your store, and, you know, I was like a regular customer, is how I was looking at it. I just walked in and I was like, ooh, look at all these witchy books that I'm interested in. Look at these crystals. Look at this. And then I just felt there was an ease to the environment.
Amazing.
And I think even as you've grown and, you know, you're in your gorgeous shop now, it doesn't feel intimidating.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I think you've nailed that.
That's amazing. So that has always been the primary goal. And also just making sure that everything that we sell and everything that all the experiences have complete meaning and integrity behind them, which is what we've just started doing with a lot of the products are sustainable, and we have a whole social enterprise called Crystal Clear, which I don't know if I've mentioned to you before. It's been like 2 years in the making, and it's basically to try and regulate the supply chain for crystals.
Yes.
It's an outdated system. It's outdated supply chain, and there's no regulation at all. Like, you can't get, there's no such thing as fair trade. And I've just been working on it relentlessly because it's really important to me that we have real sort of profit with a higher purpose, I always call it. So it's kind of, you know, yeah, we've got a business, yeah, we've got financial goals, but actually what's equally as important is the environmental and the social goals as well. And so we really we always balance all three, and that social side of it, it was became really evident that we had to do something about the crystal industry. So I've been working relentlessly on that. Over COVID, we just sent $2,000 to a community in Brazil. So we're kind of really working on the ground with community, mining communities, to help support them through COVID and things like that. So it's, yeah.
Is that something you get asked from your customers? Is like, is this crystal responsibly sourced? Is that something people are asking? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, we get asked a lot, and I kind of advise anybody who's buying crystals to keep asking. There's a lot of kind of greenwashing out there as well. And the truth is, you know, crystals, the sort of crystals that we buy and that we use in the wellness industry, they're not mined with big explosives, and it's not as bad as kind of precious stones in the jewelry industry, or gold, or even the minerals that we use for our iPhones. It's nowhere near as extreme as that. However, you know, it's not transparent, so it needs cleaning up. We need to talk about it. So we're on a mission to kind of lead the dialogue on that a little bit, and just really keep talking about it and just really open the conversation. And we give a percentage from SLC to Crystal Clear for all sales. So everything that we sell in store goes towards Crystal Clear, which is then working on the ground with these communities in Africa, Brazil. But yeah,
it's really interesting because I know every time I like talk about Palo Santo, for instance, people yes. are like, you shouldn't be buying Palo Santo. Is that responsibly sourced Palo Santo? But how do you make sure that things like Palo Santo is being sourced? I mean, we all know the situation with Palo Santo, but we all love it so much.
Well, Palo Santo, there's a bit of an issue with it, actually, in that there's two different types of Palo Santo. I can't remember the full Latin names for them, but there's two types. One is used for furniture and one is used for sacred ceremony, which is what we burn. The first one is endangered, 100% endangered. But the other one that we use, you can get it sustainably sourced. And we get ours from a community in Ecuador, and we're part of a replantation program. And just in speaking to the owner of that plantation recently, he actually is concerned with all these memes on Instagram because it's having an adverse effect, because the drop in demand of Palo Santo means that they've been farming it and selling it and trading it for years and years. It sustains their livelihood, basically, and when that demand falls, it means that they can't keep the land, and that's when illegal loggers come in, and that's when they clear the land for cattle farming and stuff. So there's a lot of Palo Santo areas that are actually being cut, that the trees are being cut down for cattle and for agriculture and things. So it's actually demand. We need to keep demand up. As long as we've got a big piece on our website all about it, actually. Talks about the whole process, how it's collected, and
that's so interesting for me. And I think, like, you know, I've seen all the memes, and not only the memes, but I get attacked by my actual audience being like, how dare you use this, da, 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 da. But it's like these memes go around, and you know, I haven't done the research either. I see the memes too, and I do a quick Google, and that's what I see. But I think that's such a good point. Like, there isn't really a sort of consistent resource where you can look to and see, like, is this even true?
Yeah, exactly. But there's a really good New York Times article on it, actually, that puts the record straight, and it's got all of the references. And I think I referenced that in our, there's a piece on our website that references that as well. So it's okay. The information is there if anyone wanted to read it.
And it kind of leads me into my next question, which is about cultural appropriation. Mm. So, you know, being witchy and all of that is from a lot of ancient traditions. So, for instance, I'm not allowed to burn sage. This is what my audience tells me. So how do you go about this kind of thing, but also be respectful?
Me and Tamara were talking about this recently, actually, as well, because it, you know, it is something that comes up quite a lot. And it goes back to just weighing up all the different factors again, and just kind of looking at the whole balance of the situation. I would say just California. We work with different communities each time, depending on, they're all part of the same group, but it just depends on what's available at that time. So we work with them to kind of sustainably harvest that. It's about connecting to the ancient tradition and truly understanding it. And like, for instance, I think it was about 1970 when it got legalized to burn sage. So it used to be illegal. Native Americans have suffered years of burning sage, and it's been illegal. So for us to just get in from work and just burn a bit of sage because we've had a shit
day. Let me cleanse my space.
Yeah.
So annoying.
So doing it so haphazardly like that is, you know, that's not great. We should take the time to kind of understand the origins. And smoke cleansing is a very different thing to smudging, for instance. So smudging is a sacred ceremony and there's a lot involved in it. So it's not the same as just simple sage smoking. So in sage smoking itself is done with a lot of different cultures around the world as well. So it's not just necessarily from Native American. But we really make sure that we're kind of respecting the tradition by explaining how to use it, explaining the tradition to people, and just making sure that when we're using sage that we're smoke cleansing in a more ritualistic way. So it's just being mindful with that process and kind right. of really understanding the roots and being respectful of them as well, and you know, kind of considering the fact that Native Americans have actually waited years to be able to legally actually burn sage, and then here we are just burning it willy-nilly. So it's kind of really about being mindful, having a mindful approach to it.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point of view. It's a tricky, difficult situation, but it's true. Like in movies and stuff, you know, it's like, oh my God, girls, I just broke up with Tom. We gotta sage yeah. everything. It's like, yeah. well, do you? Yeah. Do you? Okay, so your business is going great, even through all of this COVID stuff. What kind of bigger plans do you have to scale the business, or do you actually want to just keep it like community-based as it is now?
Well, to be honest, I mean, this year has been a complete whirlwind, so as it has for pretty much everybody. We opened actually this weekend last year on Broadway Market, so that was a huge stepping stone for us, and I couldn't have imagined that in a couple of months we'd be closing the store and we'd have to leave. So it's kind of, this year has just been so crazy because I think early on in the lockdown it was really stressful. I knew I was going to lose that property. I still had to pay the rent, which is extortionate. And I was just like, shit, I'm going to have to fold the company. It was that bad. Actually, I did a surrender spell with Semra, with Mama Moon, and just decided to kind of let go of everything and just surrender to whatever was going to be happening. I couldn't do anything about it, the situation I was in. And from that moment, it honestly started to like click. And that's when I started going forth with the new property, and so spent most of lockdown negotiating on that. And so now, and then we started all of the digital events, which I wouldn't have done if it wasn't for lockdown. We always talked about it. I think it's the same with everybody that you speak to in wellness. It's like, yeah, it's something I used to think about, but then would never get around to doing it. So where I'm at now, I kind of feel like it's none of it is what was planned. So I'm a bit like, oh God, I don't really know what's next now, because it's like, I just need to see how it goes with the new shop. But I think we'll be developing some more new products, I think, and we'll be kind of, yeah, just seeing how it goes, I think, on Broadway mm-hmm. Market, because it's so touch and go with the closures. Like if we have to go into the lockdown in January, then yeah. I'm going to have to just kind of weather that storm a little bit. But it's I'm just going to stay completely open to wherever my path might go.
That seems like a good and wise idea. Now, I was just sat here thinking about a similarity you and I have, which is that our hobbies became our business.
Yes.
Do you ever sit around and think, fuck these crystals, all these spells, I'm over it, because the business side of it is so stressful? Have you lost a bit of passion for the hobby itself?
Yeah, totally. This is why I have to keep my sound healing and Reiki just for me, because I have to keep it completely separate, because there's elements where if I don't, it'll just feel like work. So that's kind of where I've really made that conscious effort to like separate the two. And I don't have loads of crystals. I have one or two that I work with at any one time. And then if I want to spend some time with shitloads of crystals, then I can do in the shop. I try to kind of not let the two worlds merge too much. It's quite difficult.
It is really tricky, because I have the same problem, which is like about beauty, for instance. It's like people are like, do you still even really like beauty? And I'm like, well,
yeah, it's really
sometimes
hard.
It's changing a lot, I would say, because it's just been so long. But you know, I, for instance, love skincare. So I have that same sort of situation that you have with sound healing and all that. Like I have my time for my skincare.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. And baths, that's like another huge thing that I'm so passionate about. And yeah, it's about finding those things, that those little kind of things that you're like, oh yeah, that's the core of why I like this so much.
Yes.
But you know, if you have a passion and you want to turn it into a business, would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would. Apart from with like my jewelry, for instance, that was my passion. And that soon, when I started doing bigger orders and doing wholesale, and I had no hands left, and I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. And so that's when I started shifting more into SLC, and I was like, well, everyone's more into the crystals anyway. So I kind of had to pause from the jewelry, and it was really sad because I totally lost that love for it. However, now I've started bringing it back again, and I'm just not throwing myself into it as much. So I've got working with another couple of jewelers in my workshop who kind of, I do the designs and they help to make them. So it's kind of really, I've still got the love basically, but I think it's when you're like really putting all the pressure on yourself and you're kind of, that's when you really do sort of lose it. But it'll come back again. It does come back.
It ebbs and it flows. But it's true. It's like we have this idea of success of like, okay, if this is going to be successful, I need to have 20 stores. My jewelry needs to be in every single store on the high street, whatever else. But what is so wrong about having something more concentrated and meaningful?
Yeah.
And you know, you're still making a decent living from, like, why does it have to be so big? I feel like COVID has kind of brought that back a little bit.
Definitely, definitely. Like for me, this year as well, it's about like what I was talking about earlier about, you know, not everything being about kind of the money side of things. So it's going to be a huge focus in 2021 on Crystal Clear and how we can kind of really make some like big, take some big steps with that really and make some big changes. So it's kind of it's still transforming lives, but it's transforming lives on the ground in the minds.
So yeah. Kind of... I mean, it's hard though, because at the end of the day, you do still have a business to run and you have employees and you have overheads and you have all this shit, like you have to make money. But it's like, okay, it's a priority and it is probably the number one priority. So I can carry on doing this thing, but also let's just level it out a little bit. I agree. I totally see where you're coming from. Okay. So someone's listening to this podcast and they're thinking, I don't know what the hell these two are talking about. What do I do? How do I start? What if I want to do something just to dip, like literally just like dip my toe into this crazy wellness world?
I think guided meditations are always something that's really, really good. I mean, I actually do a lot of like silent meditations and rather than guided, but I think if you're new to this world, then either guided or sound healing, which can be quite kind of passive, and it's a really good way to just kind of, you know, deepen your practice, go inward and really sort of dip your toes in a little bit and see what it's all about. And because you can do it on Zoom, you can do so many sessions on Zoom, like there's so many yoga studios, meditation spaces where you can do these events, and it's a good way to just to start, I think.
I would agree, and I would say that my wellness journey began when I did yoga for the first time. Yoga, oh Lord, it changed my life. I feel like the connection to breath is kind of like the beginning of how I was started to really understand intuition. And I heard someone, it might have even been my yoga teacher this morning, say that, no, it was my Ayurvedic doctor.
Amazing.
I'm really on this path, but she said that breath is the main connection we have from the outside world to the inside world, because it takes the outside in and brings it inside out. Yeah. And, you know, visualization, like they do that sometimes in guided meditation where it's like, imagine a colored of air, and you're breathing it in and you're breathing it out, and that visualization and that connection. So I totally agree. I think meditation is kind of the first place to begin, but your website is another good place to begin.
Oh, yeah, my website. Obviously Crystal. So crystals have been like my journey really. And just using them as a focus point for meditation. So many people are kind of like, I can't meditate. I don't know how to meditate. I try, but my mind wanders and I'm not doing it right. And I mean, firstly, there's no way to not do it right. Because every time that you're making that attempt to meditate, or that every time you're giving it a go, you're getting further on your path towards kind of it becoming start something that you're integrating into your life. With crystals, you can really use them even in the most basic of ways by just thinking about how it feels in your hand. So using them as something to bring you into the present, because when we meditate, where it's all about, you know, being in the present and going inwardly. And so if you use that crystal to kind of really think about how it feels, think about, is it hot or cold? And every time your mind wanders and you're thinking about, oh, no, that email or whatever it might be, just keep bringing your attention back to the crystal. And that's quite a good way to start, really, like quite a basic way.
Why is it so important to meditate?
It just completely helps to clear our mind. And it's kind of something that's been, it's, you know, it's an ancient practice. It's been practiced for, well, I mean, there's actually arguments, I think, out there on where it kind of really derives from. There's so many different types of meditation you can do from, like, yeah, there's loads of different teachings.
Transcendental, whatever else.
Exactly, TM, and there's all sorts. But you just have to find what feels right to you. And again, it's about leaning into that intuition to really let your intuition guide you with it. Some people prefer using, like, having aids like the gong or crystal singing bowls, because it can really help them to meditate in a more passive way. But it's really about kind of really calming the mind, basically, and trying to, and that sounds like so that's not easy basically, but it's about building it up as well. So it's kind of having those moments and having those, building ritual into your routine and really kind of having those moments that are just for you. It's self-care, and meditation is your own personal self-love, I suppose, in a way. Yeah. As well,
I think those terms like self-care, self-love, and whatever else, they get thrown around like so willy-nilly, like nobody even knows what the fuck they mean anymore. And like, I honestly don't really either, but I am starting to understand it's prioritizing you. And that is so difficult. Like, I have realized that nothing in my life is for me. I mean, can I get an amen? Because I know the people listening feel the same. Like, what am I doing for me, really? You know? Yeah. And, you know, things like journaling, that is literally only for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. I need to be back on my journaling thing. And it's also not about having guilt about it either. Like, I'm not yet mad at myself for saying I haven't been journaling, but it's more just like realizing I have not been making myself a priority in any way.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back. You know, it's like a constant sort of like realignment, I think, is what this whole wellness thing is about.
Yeah, definitely. And also like reflection as well. So if you are journaling, then one of the most powerful things you can do within that is to kind of reflect on where you've been. And that can kind of give you that motivation to continue, because, you know, you might be like, oh my God, look at that, like 6 months ago I was saying this, this, and this, and I don't even think that anymore, but now I've sorted that problem out, and now it's, but it can kind of, or maybe there was something you were manifesting back then that has happened and you've forgotten that you were even doing that. And so it can really help you stay in the flow by journaling, but then also reflecting and using like the moon cycles to help you with that reflection as well.
Oh, this whole moon cycles thing is just like stressing me out. It's like, I don't know what the hell went down, but there was a full moon or something the other day. I was one crazy mofo. And like, it's, I know tomorrow's got her book and everything, but I think you're right. These moon cycles are also come into play.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about how hormones.
And then your mental cycles. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you're journaling, right, something that I've been doing recently, which over the past year or so, and it's, I found it really, really helpful, is kind of journaling my own menstrual cycle with in line with the moon, and my own, and just noting down my emotion on that day and how I feel. And it's so interesting, because every full moon I feel completely different, and it's because of where I am in my cycle, and there's a real pattern there now. But it helps you really understand yourself and your own emotions. And it's like, oh my God, I'm not going crazy right now. It's like, I'm meant to be like that because it says so, because every month this is what happens. And it just reminds you. Or if you're ovulating and it's a full moon, then you're like really in an amazing place for creative expression. So that's like, okay, let's like do this shit. And you can really kind of plan your time a little bit in accordance with the moon and your menstrual cycle. I mean, there's so much you can do.
But I mean, I feel like you kind of lost me a while ago because I'm such a realist, but also like I totally also get it because, you know, I look outside and I look at the moon and I'm like, oh damn, something's happening. I don't might not understand what is happening. So that's maybe a good place to start is to kind of journal it and see where your cycle is. Yeah, but exactly. Tell me the truth, Jill. Do you go outside on the full moon and howl at it? I want to know.
No, I don't. Do you know what? The full moons, I'm like so introvert. Like I don't even join our own full moon ceremonies at SLC. I just always feel that, again, they're just times for me, the full moon. It's that kind of, I always feel quite emotional. And I've just, it's a time that I need to go inwardly a little bit and kind of.
Very emotional. I agree. Are guys getting this too, or is this just like female centric almost in a way?
I feel like it's men is female centric a lot.
I'm telling you, these guys, it's like sometimes I wonder what it must be like to not feel all these things all the time.
I know. Like my partner is so, Chris, he is so kind of chilled and calm, and then it just sees me doing all this talking about all this crazy stuff and like then being like, oh, it's full moon, I feel like this, and da, da, da. And he's just like so chilled and calm with it all, and he's like, okay, all right, yeah, babe, you're right.
In a way, like, to be like one of our boyfriends, you know, sometimes I say to my other girlfriends, like, are you like me? Like, how are your partners dealing with all of this and whatever else? And all my girlfriends are like, yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. I'm like really moody. I'm this, I'm that. Sometimes I snap. And yeah, it's true. It's like these guys are just kind of sitting back. I mean, I don't even think they're on edge, but you know, they're probably thinking, what is she going to throw at me next?
Yeah, totally.
And before we go, I just wanted to talk a bit more about manifestation because I haven't really spoken about it, but boiled down, is manifesting basically like setting a goal for yourself and focusing on it?
Yeah. So it is. It's painting a picture of what it is that you want, and it's visualizing it, and it's thinking about it in the future tense as well. So it's thinking about it when it's happened, and really, really seeing yourself in that situation. But you've really got to kind of feel it in your gut. It's like it clicks when it feels right, I feel.
Okay, so it's not so much like in 2 years time I'm gonna have £10 million in the bank.
Yeah, no, unless you read The Secret and you want to write a check on your
exactly.
But not really. I think you have to be realistic with it. It's not kind of this magic it's like when we were talking about the crystals, it's you doing the work,
right?
It's not right, okay, I want all this luck, I want to win all this money, have all this money in a year. And you might be able to get it, but you have to make the steps.
Yeah.
You have to plan it out. You have to figure out how it's going to get there. But it's combining your own consciousness and your own kind of wishes and willing to the actions that you take. So it's the two things together. It's your consciousness and those actions that can kind of really help you.
Something along that vein that's really clicked with me recently is someone, I can't even remember too, I talked to so many people, as I'm sure you do, I don't even know who said this, but they said, you think a lot about the things you don't want in your life. You don't want to be stressed. You don't want to live in this situation. You don't want to work in this way. You don't want to eat junk food. Okay, what do you want? What does your ideal life look like realistically? You know, and I think that's also part of manifesting. It's like, you can't get the things you want if you don't admit to yourself those are the things you want.
Yeah, exactly. And also the mind doesn't really hear the negatives as well. So every time you're saying things like, I don't want to be stressed, it's just hearing stress. That's kind of, it's having the opposite effect, really.
That makes a lot of sense because I swear to God, I'm just like stress all the time.
And going with the manifesting as well, just going back to the moon thing. I think I've manifested the new store on Broadway Market because we, lockdown was the full moon in Aries was when the first lockdown hit. And I like pulled the tower card. And I was just like, oh my God, this is all like going to come crumbling down. It's all shit. And then, like I said to you, I did the whole kind of surrender thing and was like, right, yeah, I'm going to really, I decided I was going to start on this new path. And I looked, I journaled it all the way through. And then when it got to the full moon, so that was the new moon in Aries, started setting those intentions. It got to the full moon in Aries and the opening date for the store kept slipping back. And it was meant to open in August and it didn't. And I was like, oh my God, is it ever going to happen? And then I realized it was the Aries full moon and we decided to do the opening then. And it'd been that whole 6 months of manifesting. Tamara talks about, you know, set the intentions on the new moon and then allow 6 months of journaling and 6 months of kind of really allowing that to kind of bed in that intention and working on it and taking action on it and then see where you are when it gets to the full moon for the Aries. So like, and I'm an Aries moon as well, so it kind of felt really important for me that it happened in that way.
That's really cool. So journaling is key for you by the sounds of things.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jill. I learned a lot about your journey and your story. And it's always interesting to hear people's opinions on wellness because I think sometimes it can get a bad reputation. Like we're all just kind of like, this is a cure-all thing for this. But
yeah, exactly.
It's just being more conscious, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Be more conscious. Tuning into what your own personal needs are. Everyone's path's completely different. Everyone's needs are completely different. And what's right for one person is not necessarily right for you. So it's just about really tuning into that and kind of finding the community or finding the practice that works for you.
Absolutely. Where can people find you, Jill, if they want to learn more about SLC?
So SLC_London on Instagram, or our website is sheslostcontrol.co.uk.
Perfect.
Or you can find us on 74 Broadway Market in London.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Estée Lalonde Show. If you'd like to keep up to date with all of our new episodes, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Estée Lalonde Show. If you want to be extra nice and support the show, then you can leave us a rating as well.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.